Welcome back to College Questions. I'm DJ.
And I'm Tarshawn.
Thank you for listening in. Tarshawn has a question, and I'm curious. I haven't heard this question, so he's cheesing over here. All right, what you got, man? I'm ready.
How you doing, brother?
How am I doing?
Yeah. That's not the question. I'm asking you how you doing.
I mean, I'm good now.
All right, cool.
Well, I mean, life's full of all kind of challenges, yeah, man. We were talking about that before the podcast. There's always challenges, and there's rewards, and you got to deal with the challenging things, but still embrace the good things, and yeah, finding that old balance, man.
Yeah, man. There's somewhere in some place that God didn't bless somebody with a challenge today.
So there you go.
You still got a challenge.
There
brother.
You go.
Anyway, I say all that to say, what are qualities that make people great leaders?
What qualities make people great leaders?
Yeah.
Okay.
What are the, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Basically, build a leader for me. What does a leader look like?
You know, my number one, I want to say it, but then I want to explain it. I think humility is the first thing that comes to mind, and I'll tell you why. Let me phrase it like this. A great leader get so excited about other people succeeding.
Yeah.
Because a good leader can be really good at what they do, but they could really care less about what the people around them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
But great leaders really embrace the role of helping other people go even above and beyond where they were. You know right. what I'm saying? Like, they see it and they're like, man, I'm going to help them. And they know that, you know, they just, that's, you know, in other words, it's the, there's leaders that are, a poor leader, you know, wants all the recognition. And if anything negative comes, it's someone else's fault.
Right.
But a great leader is humble enough to say, man, I'm going to prioritize like helping others, like, and I'm going to be excited for other people succeeding. And if praise comes for what we're doing, like, I'm about to tell them really who helped it happen. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think even if they didn't, even if you were the reason, I'm not saying this because I look at leaders sometime and I see leaders that be like, and I feel like in a way, this is how I lead. It's my staff or whoever I'm leading, it's their fault when we succeed.
Right? Oh, okay.
You get
okay.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. It's, you're a reverse
I dressed
psychology.
It wrong. Yeah, you see how I dressed it up, DJ? But then, it's my fault if it fails.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
that's good.
And I'll take it. Yeah. I'll figure that out.
Yeah, that's good.
But I feel like sometimes that there is a point where this wasn't y'all, like this was me, but in my leadership, sometimes I still give it to them, but sometimes I do expect, this is
just
crazy.
Say it.
I do expect for them to be like, nah, this was you.
Yeah.
And I don't get that.
Yeah.
And there are certain people, and
that's the false humility. Like, I think true humility can also has the ability to accept that too.
Yeah.
Like true humility. Because it's kind of false humility to be like, oh, it's not about me. You know, there's that kind of too.
Yeah.
I mean, because there is a reality if someone praises you, like, can you just say, thank you, man, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's encouraging. Like, just own it.
Yeah.
I mean, you did have a role to play in it. So, the great leaders understand that balance. That is a balance, right?
I got you.
If you're always that person, okay, here's an example in my world. I'm a pastor.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing this one time. It's like if you preach a sermon or you do something and someone comes up and says, man, you know, I really enjoyed your sermon.
Yeah.
What's your response? There's a lot of people who feel like they always have to, in that moment, say something to the effect of, you know, about, you know, God and just thankful to God, you know, just giving him all the credit, which obviously he did. Like, we don't do that without him. I get that.
Yeah.
But I also think it's okay to just, thank you. I really appreciate that. That's still, I'm still glorifying God because I'm accepting, I'm just receiving a compliment, man. I'm not, it doesn't have to be weird. It ain't, you know, it's okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's encouraging.
Yeah. I always wondered, man, like how pastors feel about that. Cause in my way, I try to give the pastor not a scapegoat, but because I know that's a very tough. That's just like praise and worship, bro.
Yeah.
When they come up to you, be like, man.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed your praise and worship.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed you singing. It's different when you sing, man. I love it. And I'm just like.
You don't know.
Like, what do I say, man? Yeah. Like, praise God. Man, praise God. Right? I'm glad you do, brother. Like,
I know. And that's, ain't nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying, but you can also say thank you. Like, that's okay.
I just feel weird saying that. Bro.
I know, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But you can say that.
I feel you. I just feel
because
weird.
God sees the heart at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. He already knows the person who's up on that stage doing it the right thing for the wrong reason for themselves.
Yeah.
He knows that.
Yeah.
He sees pride and he sees humility. So you ain't fooling him.
Yeah.
You don't get to just say magic words when someone gives you praise to get to. Does that make sense?
I think there's just always a piece of flesh that I fight daily with my talent.
Yeah.
And so.
You don't want to give it like a little foothold for that.
Like I know myself.
Yeah.
Like, you get what I'm saying?
So no, that's good.
Like, I know what me taking that you did good today. I know what that can my flesh be crying like, oh man, it can fade, bro. No, I don't want that. So I just kind of tend to, it makes it awkward because I know there's two sides of me that one of them wants to be like, oh yeah, I did do that. And then another person wants to be like, oh man, praise
that's
God.
True. No, so, I'm
just being real with myself.
No, that's good. But I do think that a great leader is definitely going to have that quality and that ability to see like beyond just themselves, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be able to know like, okay, this is about helping other people succeed, and they get excited to see other people succeed.
Yeah.
The other thing that kind of parallels with that is, I would say, service. There's a new phrase that came out. It's like servant leadership became kind of like a term at some point. I don't know. I mean, Jesus did kind of live by that example, right? So he kind of birthed it, I feel like, but and that's what he kind of told people to do, serve, right? He will be the first, going to be last, if you want to, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of goes with helping other people succeed, you know, willing to serve others, man.
I used to always tell one of the guys I was over, I was the supervisor, good leaders make leaders, right?
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's kind of how I look at it. So I was always trying to empower my staff of leadership in a way.
Yeah.
I would like for people to come in and not know who the boss is because everybody's that strong, right? And so like that was kind of how I wanted it to look in the direction of how I wanted things to look. I wanted people to see this product and see that, man, I don't know who the boss is. Everybody's doing something, and I got my hands in the dirt, so you can't tell who's really leading until they say, "Hey, Tarshawn, come on, like talk to this person," and then I gotta talk to him.
But, now, if in fairness, my first two things were—is abstract the right word? Like I said, what was my first one, man? Help me, my brain's gone. Humility.
Humility.
Service. Okay. But like practically, what does that mean? At some point, I think you got to break this thing down and make it real. Like, what are they doing? And I would say my first quality for that. Does that make sense? Like, those are good things. But like, what are they doing to display humility? What are they doing to display service?
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because like we can go. I feel like that's why I'm saying it's abstract. I mean, it's real, but it's like, what does that mean? What are they doing? So my number one thing, if you ask me like, what are they doing? Communication. Is going to be number one.
Okay.
And there's two key components to communication. There's assertiveness and there's active listening. And that is one of the few things I remember from school, right? There's like, for communication to take place, there has to be a sender, there has to be a receiver, and the communication is a line between the two. Mm-hmm. And if there's miscommunication, right, that's because there was a breakdown somewhere between sender and receiver. And it might be on the receiver, might be on the sender, and it might be on the message. But one of the three are broken down. You know what I'm saying?
I love that class.
It's fun, man. I remember that. I would love, yeah, I love the study of communication.
Yeah.
But I do think a great leader is assertive.
Yeah.
Meaning you can't just expect people to know, read your mind and just know. Like, why didn't you? It's like, you didn't communicate that.
Yeah.
Like, so you have to be a great communicator. But you also have to be and assertive with the things you want to get out there. Like, what do you want people to know? What's the job? What is the task? What's our vision? Where are we going? How are we going to get there? All those things. but also a great listener.
Yeah.
Right? Like someone who can hear the team and even be willing to, and when I say hear, it's like they're truly listening.
Yeah.
And not only am I saying listening in the sense of like in a one-on-one setting, because sometimes you may get that, but oftentimes when I say that, I'm saying they're attentive to what's being said. Mm. And they're listening. They're paying attention. Like they get it. Mm. And they're not defensive if it's something that kind of rebukes a direction they had going that's probably not the best for the team or best for whatever. They're like, okay, they're willing to make those changes because they're assertive, but they're also listening actively. That's two key components for anything in life, but certainly a great leader, man. If you don't have that, I think you can be good, but I don't think you'll ever be great.
Wow. Wow. So I don't know, man. I feel like leadership comes in a form of where are leaders born? That's what's on my mind right now. Like, how are leaders born? Are they born or are they created? Is leadership in you when you're born innately, or can you become a great leader?
I think this is just my observation. I mean, I think everyone has the capacity to lead, and everyone in fact does lead somebody. I mean, somebody's looking to somebody, or somebody's looking to everybody, right? Everybody. Yeah. Like there's that. But I do think that there are, I mean, man, I think God made us all, right? Mm-hmm. I do think he gives us different giftings, different talents, different skills, different abilities. Like that's across the board, right? And everybody has the capacity to lead. But I do think some people have been given a special ability to be fantastic leader. Like they just have certain qualities that not everybody got. Now, they still have to develop that. They still have to work. There's still a, and everyone can develop it to a degree. But does that make sense? That's just my observation, man. Yeah. And in other words, I don't think everybody's whatever those things are. Whatever we want to deem, whatever role we're going to put a great leader in, like whatever role you say. Mm. I guess what I'm saying is if I look at any skill or talent, like anything, bro, some people are naturally good at it. And then but some people aren't, right? But even the people who aren't can kind of get okay at it, right? They might even be able to get good at it if they devote enough time and effort. If they devote enough time and effort, they can get good at it.
Right.
But there's a cap on that of where they can go. Right.
Yeah.
The other people who are kind of naturally good at it, then you break those down. And some of those, if given the right work ethic and devotion and commitment, man, they can get like really good, like great.
Right.
And then I think there's even a smaller number that can just be absolutely insane. Like, and I say that because I'm, you asked me that and I immediately thought of like, I can't help but go to like sports, man, because it's such a good parallel to life. I feel like, so it's like, hey man, I'm not, man, the person who becomes really, really good and they're a great kind of that solid commitment to the team. They're producing. They're a key role. They're a key role. Can't do it without them. But they're just not that elite. That's okay.
Yeah.
And not everybody can do that. So I've just observed in sports. And here's what I'm saying. Like there's like those, they call them generational players. It's like it's the type of person that you just don't see them very often. Like when they come around, everybody knows. Whoa, this different. It's different. So I think there are those leaders. And what I'm trying to say is I don't think everybody can get there because that's fair. Like we in athletics, like let's be honest. I saw a promotion for the Olympics coming up this summer.
Yeah.
Is it Simone? I always have a hard time.
Simone Biles.
How do you pronounce her first name though?
Simone. Yep.
Biles.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I told Dre, she's married to an NFL player. I thought it was the Packers. I thought that was a cool story.
I only know that because McKenzie is, you know, gymnastics. She's into it.
But that's what I'm saying. So gymnast, great example. Like, can everyone be her? Bro, let's just be real. Like, no.
She got moves named after her. Like, you know
what
a
I'm
bunch
saying? But that's what I'm saying, man. It's like, that's my point, man. I think some people are given just these God gives these, like they just have a quality about them. Like even if you go to the Bible and it's like, what was it about David that made him who he was? There was something in Shepherd Boy David way before he was called to be king that God just gave him a set of skills, that humility to thrive and being a shepherd boy. He was completely content doing that. Bro. And he was going to do it to the best of it. And he was going to fight the lions and fight the bears because what all he cared about, I mean, these are my sheep, man. I'm taking care of them. That's my job. I mean, I'm just saying that I don't, not all of his brothers had that.
Bro.
I mean, he showed up to the battlefield to bring them food and they're like, what are you doing here? It's like that's already something in their heart that they don't have a great capacity for leadership because someone's showing up to provide for you and you don't even see that. You're just mad that they're there.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, I think everybody has the capacity. If you want to go be a gymnast, great. But keeping it real, like not there's only going to be a few Olympians.
I listened to a podcast by Gilbert Arenas. He has a podcast out.
Okay.
And it's I was going to let y'all hear a little snippet of it, but I don't know if it has any kind of profanity in it.
The so NBA player?
Yeah, yeah.
Is he still playing?
No, but
Who did he play for?
Well, the Washington Wizards. He used to go around on the free throw. He'd go around his. But Gilbert Arenas was cold. But anyways.
What'd he say?
They were talking about leadership.
Okay.
And he said the one of the guys on the podcast, I don't know if Gilbert said this. Gilbert didn't say this. One of the guys on the podcast said a good leader, the leader is usually the best player on the team. And Gilbert was like, I don't know if that's always true.
Mm.
Sometimes the best leader, the leader is not always the best player on the team.
Yeah.
And so then they started looking at teams. And I mean, you think about, I mean, I don't know, like teams right now today. I mean, and then I started looking at leadership in general. Like,
yeah.
So then my mind just took off, which has brought me to the question of today.
Yeah,
that's
what
how
makes
I got
quality
here.
Leaders.
Yeah.
I think another one, I'm just going to keep throwing stuff out there, but conflict resolution.
Wow.
You know, because leaders, I think, sometimes make the mistake of is if they're doing everything right, they'll just never be conflict.
Mm.
But. I mean, come on, man. Conflict is a part of life. There's no world that exists without conflict. And conflict's not all bad if we handle it right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If we respond right, if we know how to walk through that, if we know how to process that, and you can come out at a much better place. And great example. I keep going back to sports, but a great illustration for life. One thing, I don't watch a lot of hockey. But man, hockey's got a really valuable lesson in it, and it's fighting. Because these two guys the other day, and they do the whole thing, man. So it's like if you want to fight somebody, you know, the gloves come off. There's like an etiquette to it, right? So it's like I'm gonna throw my gloves off. I'm gonna take. Here we go, and then you grab each other's jersey, and then now it's like it's on. And at some point, as soon as it goes to the ground, like they stop it, right? They're gonna protect each other. But these two guys, they get after it. Boom, they each get some shots in.
Yeah.
And when the refs break it up, guess what?
They go to the box.
No, but before that, dude, they shake hands. They're like this mutual respect of like, hey, man, I got you.
I'm so confused on how that's part of the game.
But here's my point. I know, but I love it. And I think I love it because, A, and there's people that are against that. They shouldn't fight out there. That's weak, man.
I don't think it's like if that, it's part of the rules, I'm fine with it. I just don't understand how that got to the point where that's part of
but
the rules.
But here's my point, man. Like, I love that because it forces you to, here's what I love about it. It's good. It forces you to realize that sometimes that's just what needs to happen. Like, we live in a world where we just don't want any conflict to take place. It's like, look, sometimes you just got to have that hard conversation.
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to go face to face with that conflict to get through it. Right?
Yeah.
And we can't just skirt and act like this ain't happening. Like we got to face this. We got to face this. So let's do it and let's do it right.
Yeah,
so I thought that was funny. Like I instantly had that imagery. So I think conflict resolution is a bit that communication and conflict resolution are going to be my top two like practical things. Cause you can't handle conflict right if you don't know how to communicate. Cause you got to be assertive, right? And you got to listen actively to know what's up and to know how to discern what needs to happen in this situation. How do we handle this conflict? Sometimes conflict comes internally. Sometimes conflict comes externally. You know what I'm saying? So no matter what team or business or church you're a part of, You can have conflict that comes from within, and you can have conflict that comes from that, your home. Yeah. Sometimes you have conflict from within.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have conflict without. Oh, let's go a little step further. You yourself.
Yeah.
Sometimes have conflict internally.
Yeah, man.
And then sometimes it comes externally.
I can't stand myself sometimes, but.
You know, I think a great leader understands that and has the discernment to know, okay, this is internal, right? Like this one's on me. Or what? Oh, that's external. Oh, this is internal on our team. We got to handle this as a team. Oh, this is external. We got to come together as a team and identify that, guys, this ain't us. This is outside of us. It's like you hear these players talking about, oh, I was good this year because I didn't listen to anything y'all said. Because they're like, how did y'all get through all this? We've been bashing y'all all year. It's like, because I don't listen to y'all. You know, it's like,
yeah.
But they, what did they do? Well, they as a team, the leader stepped up and said, hey, I hear all that noise, but guess what? That's external. That's not us. So we gotta recognize, you identify that. So anyway, there's different responses. But I think a great leader, yes, he or she, they are humble. They get excited to help others succeed. They serve because that's going to help others succeed, right? And practically, their communication skills are great. They know how to be assertive. They know how to listen actively. They know how to resolve conflict in a way that benefits those around them.
I think right now, in whether it be in church, politics, schools, I think right now we have a problem as with leadership not being able to look at ourselves first.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
one thing you just said that yeah. really resonated with me was talking about making sure we look at ourselves. We need to, in leadership, good leaders, I do believe that, DJ, we should look at ourselves first and then come from inward to outward to where we're thinking about what am I doing yeah. that affects everybody to make them do the things they're doing that we're not getting the results that we want.
How about this one? To your point, great leaders can admit I'm wrong.
Wow.
And yeah, a lot of leaders they'll never admit that.
You're right, bro. That's some real stuff.
And I feel like that's a key one. And that goes back to, I'd put that under the humility one, right?
Yeah, man.
Because humility allows you to go there. A great leader can admit, I don't know something.
Man.
I mean, how crazy is that?
So do you think that pride can make a leader, that's very toxic to a leader, pride is, right?
Oh, like, yeah. And some people think they have to have it all figured out. And then when they don't know something, then they it's just like, just admit, you don't know. I don't know. That's a great question, or this is a great, I don't know how we're going to solve this problem. We're going to figure it out. Let's.
But I also feel like leaders that aren't established look at saying, I don't know something.
Yeah.
That aren't quite established yet. Meaning,
yeah, I got
nobody,
you.
Everybody
yeah.
doesn't trust you.
They feel like
yet.
They have to know. Yeah,
they got
to yeah.
know the answers. So if they don't know the answers, they don't want to tell you they don't know, because that would make them feel or look inferior. So yeah. they don't want to tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It's interesting.
Leadership, bro. Yeah. For sure.
What about you, man? I've thrown them out. Give me your top two.
Top two, man. Integrity and your word.
Okay.
So when you
that was on my brain. I like that. Integrity. Yeah. What is it about integrity?
So your word and integrity kind of can go hand in hand.
Tell me.
But integrity, man, when you say, like, you know, before we go in here, I want to let you know, like, as your leader, I'm going to support you. I'm going to support you.
Yeah.
Like, I know what I asked you to do, and I've seen you doing it, you know? Like, I'm going to stand by my staff. If my staff is wrong, then wrong am I.
Yeah.
It's my fault because I didn't see them doing it. But people oftentimes, like, we get to the point where we don't, that wasn't me. You know, leaders, we got some weak leaders, bro. That's why I'm talking about this. Yeah. We got weak leadership right now all over the board.
Yeah.
All over the board.
For sure.
In every avenue, whether it be church, I feel like church-wise, we should do a better job of taking our communities back.
Mm.
That's how I feel. Mm. That's what leadership is. We should do more outreach in our communities, period. That's all over.
Yeah.
Politics, leadership, period. Yeah. We just need better leadership. Schools, leadership.
Yeah.
We need to do better by leading our kids. I don't think we, man, it's so much.
And I think,
but anyways, yeah, I think integrity is lacking in leadership. And I think that's something that we could do a better job of. And that's something we need to hold our leaders of today accountable of. We don't, leaders are not held accountable nowadays. Man, I just remember a time where we used to hold people accountable.
Yeah.
Where I used to be like, DJ, you remember what you said you was going to do?
Yeah.
Right? And this was okay. Me saying that was okay. Me saying, DJ, you ain't doing what you, what you said you was going to do. Yeah. Or you let me down, bro. Like, I could.
That's a different,
you can't say that. People are too sensitive.
Yeah. It's true, man.
And the sensitive people are our leaders. And they, you.
I think another thing they, I just think about people in my life that I look to as great leaders. They empower their team and they entrust their team.
Mm.
It's like poor leaders micromanage everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like they got to come along. They're going to give you a task, but they're going to come along and like tell you how to do it. And they're going to be, it's like, but great leaders, man, they empower you. So they're not just like, oh, go figure it out. They're going to empower you. But then they're also going to not micromanage. They're going to trust, man. You're doing it.
Wow.
Great leaders also got your back, man.
For sure. For sure.
They got your back, man. They got the team's back.
Yeah. And you know who the leader is as soon as adversity hits.
Yeah, true.
You know who it is. They stand up. And it ain't even a question. Everybody else is going to see. And everybody else knows who the leader is. They may not be the person scoring all the points. They may not be the person doing all the work, showing up. When everybody's gone.
Yeah.
You can see your leader.
Here's another thing, man. A great leader makes a decision and with confidence moves forward even when everyone is questioning him on that decision. Great leaders just have the ability to see things that no one else will see. And so everyone will just be like maybe complaining or questioning it, but they roll with it. And then later everybody's like, oh wow.
But that's why I asked you earlier, because I feel like that's something that you're born with. I don't feel like that's something that you develop. Like
I think you can develop that a little. Now, I mean, to your point, I'm with you on that, but I think you can develop that.
Okay.
Right. I think you can, because there had to be a moment for everyone who's great at that.
Yeah.
Even people who had to tap into that, like how we mentioned Simone Biles, like she had to work extremely hard to get to that place. It's not like just because she had a natural bent, she's just, oh yeah, I'm good. No, I bet that girl worked harder than anybody in the gym. So I think you pay attention and a leader, when they get to that point, like that's got to be in their minds.
Yeah.
And so I do think that you can develop that. But are some people more likely to really like let what people think mess with them? Yeah, for sure. Some people are a lot easier influenced by what people think than others. Oh, that's for sure. Like some people could like, I don't care what people think.
Yeah.
Like some people naturally are like that. I get that. But
do you think good leaders should be like that?
I don't think.
Do you think good leaders should be untouched by or unfazed by what other people think about something that they're doing?
I think there's tension in my mind there, because I think you need to pay attention, because even maybe there's some truth to what's being said and it's worth kind of observing and going, hey, you know what? We need to make some corrections here. They may be right. They maybe that was unkind the way they said it, but there was some truth to that.
Yeah.
Like you got to be willing to see that. But at the same time, you can't be influenced. I mean, I think about what Paul said. You know, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? And he says, if I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ Jesus. In other words, a disqualifier for him to do what he was called to do is worrying about pleasing people. So I think there's a distinction. If we're going to say pleasing people, yeah, a great leader could care less about pleasing people.
Yeah.
For sure. We got a task. We've got a goal. We've got a vision. We've got a mission. We've got a direction that we're going. Like this is happening. I don't care what y'all think. I saw a quote. This was pretty good. I think one of my former football teammates shared it, and it said, I'm not worried. Did I screenshot that? I'm gonna try to say it. I'm gonna mess it up. But it's like, I ain't worried about the ones who don't like me, because I know for sure the ones who love me.
Wow.
And a great leader like connects with that, because a great leader knows what he's got. He knows this is. And so, you know, every group, because let's be honest, every great leader is going to get highly criticized.
Yeah.
Please believe that's coming. Yeah. Great leadership doesn't mean you're not criticized. Everybody. Oh, no. Matter of fact, great leaders probably get more criticized than, like, right? I would say Jesus, the greatest liver ever. They killed him. They killed
him. The same people that said they loved him.
Well, there's tension there. Jesus said no one takes my life. I give it freely. So in fairness, but he gave his life up. But my point is, you're going to get criticized.
Yeah, bro.
So a great leader is like, okay, of course. Golly. Like, we shouldn't be. A great leader is not even a great leader. How
not
about
surprised.
This? Not even surprised.
Not even surprised, bro.
A great leader expects it.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
So, man, there's a lot. I mean, you could go on and on. I know there's a book, the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership or something like that. There's all kind of qualities for sure that go
what
into
that.
What
was that book you was talking about that one time? Something about kings and.
Oh, yeah. That was Stu Weber, the Tender Warrior. That's about manhood and about every man is he's four characters. He's a king, mentor, friend, and warrior.
Right.
And he plays all four of those. It's pretty good. I hope I got those four right. But yeah, you can check it out. It's in our library downstairs.
Yeah, man.
Probably under Pastor Greg's recommended readings.
Pastor Greg, what's up, homie?
Tarshawn, it's been real, man.
Always, brother. Always.
Until next time, I'm DJ.
And I'm Tarshawn.
And we want to encourage you guys to stay connected to the local church.
Yes, sir.
To one another.
Come on.
And most importantly, the God we love and serve.
Always.
God bless.
Peace.
Whatever you want to be, it helps to be well. An active, healthy lifestyle is key. We offer tips and support to quit smoking and address health conditions like diabetes and high blood pressure. It's never too late to make decisions to help you be healthier. Call 833-283-WELL. Be you, be well. This ad brought to you by your Master Tobacco Settlement dollars at work.